Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Her issue with money and work and
all these kind of things. So, you know, sometimes things gotta happen. Well, that's how that story goes. Well, our switch tip for this week: stop denying God's power. Yep, that's where the switch with Shanti's got us this week. And, you know, after we got finished praying on Sunday night for God's power to turn our weaknesses into strength, and then we heard this long story. Ooh, we definitely needed a pick-me-up and to get that switch tip. Yeah, you listen, the only way it's going to happen, the only way it's going to, and let me say that again, the only way it's going to happen is God is, the only way God is going to really move in your life is if you stand in the position to allow God's power to actually work in your life. You can actually suppress the spirit of the Lord. You can actually be out of alignment with God where, you know, he does not move on your behalf. And, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, don't do anything where your prayers are hindered. You can hinder what God does. Yeah. You know, God's not forcing himself in our lives, you know, on a grand, you know, on a grand scale. And you don't want God to have to make things happen because it may not be too happy the way it's going, because it might be for your good, but it's going to hurt if you're working in the opposite direction, if you're working in opposition of, you know, the Lord. And if you're on the, you know, enemy side, you may not think you are, but again, you know, it's God's way of thinking. It's not our way of thinking. So, you don't know what could be going on. So, that's how we spent our Monday. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. Rolled around and oh my, Pastor Jeff, Pastor KL, Shantice, woo! This broadcast was smoking on Tuesday after they got finished talking. Yes, yes, yes. You know, we started off the morning talking about, you know, the lies that, you know, people told their partners. And, woo, did that turn out to be some conversation? So I'm definitely sending you back. Go and listen to that one. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we got to talking with our girl Vivian and her socially conscious segment about President Trump, who is, he's urging people to buy the God Bless the USA Bibles. Now, I tell you, what won't we do? What won't he do? Now, I don't know if he's, you know, really trying to get this millions and millions and millions of dollars paid off, so he figures all of his supporters, if they all come together, they're going to pay that bill. I do not know. So that is definitely something that we need to pay attention to. Well, we also got to talking about the girl who went through her boyfriend's phone and found something that she really was not anticipating. Nope, wasn't another woman. It was the fact that he told his friend he didn't think she was attractive. Yeah, and it kind of, you know, blew her mind. She wasn't ready for that, was not ready for that. And we got to talking about, you know, the things that men talk to their boys about that we don't know anything about. So I'm not going to go into detail because I have a feeling like we're going to try to recycle this list today and see what the men have got to say about this. Yeah, you know, having a conversation with the men and having a conversation with the women, you know, that doesn't always go the same. So it's going to be real interesting if we make it there, how that conversation is going to go. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around and we got to talking with the Due Time crew. And, you know, it's an interesting dynamic when women start talking about how we see men as being weak. And we talked about some of the times when men show themselves as being weak, and so, or show themselves. Well, the ladies say they really don't like when men fish for compliments. Well, you know, that is definitely a sign of weakness for the ladies. Not getting the job done well. Not getting the job done at all. How about that one? Well, the women don't seem to like that one either. So, I don't know, man. You know, we've been talking a whole lot about what the men say about the women. So, you know, that was an interesting conversation because the ladies definitely had something to say about that. All right. That's pretty much how we spent our week. Well, not quite. Last night, oh, my. We had a good time. I sure hope you were there. Yeah, it was my two cents video. Shantice, our brother Ainsley, and myself, we were on YouTube Live and Facebook Live talking about the Writers Guild Awards category of comedy series. And, you know, you're going to have to go back and, you know, check it out. But, you know, we did talk about the nominees such as Abbott Elementary and Jury Duty. Those were two of the five nominees in that category. So we had some interesting things to say. And you, the listeners and viewers, had some interesting things to say. We had a good time as we ate our popcorn and drank our soda. And, you know, go on to find out if we should click it or kick it. Yeah, that's our new tagline. And we also discussed some of our own. Yeah, we discussed some of our, you know, comedy series that were not on the list. So, you know, we were trying to take a stab at whether the Writers Guild Award is on the prejudice side. Yeah. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. But it was good. We got a lot of compliments. Go back and check it out and see if that's something that you want to hang out with us. Next week, God spares, we're going to be talking about drama series and the nominees in the drama series catalog and what we come up with. Now, 2023 was loaded with drama series, so we don't know which ones we're going to suggest you kick it or click it. All right. Well, today is Freestyle Friday. Yep. yep. And I got to tell you, it's Diddy Week. You know, that's all you saw in the news last night. Diddy Week, Diddy Week, Diddy Week. So I did wrap up, you know, some other things in a bow to talk about, but it wasn't a whole lot of other to talk about. So I don't know where we're going to land this morning. But go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
According to a recent survey by the American Optometric Association, more than half of Americans and 4 out of 5 children use electronic devices for 3 or more hours per day. And those statistics will only increase. March is Save Your Vision Month, and the American Optometric Association wants you to see well into the future. It's more important than ever to make sure your family members receive yearly comprehensive eye exams from your local eye doctor. Protect your eye health in the 21st century. Visit AOA.org to learn more.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it's Freestyle Friday, y'all. It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Oh, I'm so glad we have gotten to the end of the week. God has been so good to us. If we're on and we're chilling, waiting for Pastor Steph to talk about the news, and we good. God has been exceptionally good to us. So we made it, y'all. We made it. All right. Well, like I said, it was Diddy Week, and you didn't have a whole lot more in this in this week's news, but I managed to get a little bit some. So, do you know there's going to be a Michael biopic? Yes, 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 there's going to be a story, a movie about Michael Jackson. Now, the only thing I have not been able to find out is it hitting the big screen, or is it going to be like one of those Lifetime movie things? But I gotta tell you, they have casted some very interesting people. So first, it is going to be an Antoine Fuqua movie. So it's probably going to be on the big screen. I don't know much of Antoine Fuqua stuff going to the small screen. But actually, Michael Jackson's nephew is going to play Michael. Now, I don't know which brother's son this is going to be, but he's definitely the nephew, Jafar Jackson. Alrighty, so, no, that's the uncle. It's one of those J brothers, J nephews. Remember a few years ago, well, not a few years ago, because, gosh, time is flying by, but at one point, like, all these brothers, kids, they started, you know, they were trying to be the Jackson 5. Yeah. Well, you see, that didn't go very far, right? Well, I'm interested in how this nephew is going to make out. playing the Michael, his uncle. Well, guess who else is in this? Coleman Domingo. Yeah, y'all know Coleman Domingo. He played Rustin, and he played in Mister in the revised, what do you call that thing? Color Purple. Yeah. Coleman Domingo and Nia Long are slotted to play Joe and Catherine Jackson. Woo! Are you ready for that one? I wonder how much they're going to be on the screen. Yeah. Well, guess who slotted to play Barry Gordy? Mr. Benjamin Buttons himself, Lorenz Tate. And I could see him being a good Barry Gordy. Yes, he's going to be a good Barry Gordy. Well, some other chick, I don't know her name, but, well, not her name, but I don't know her. She's slotted to play Diana Ross, some Graham. She's slotted to play Diana Ross. Who else is on this list? You've got this Jessica Sula. I don't know if you know her because I sure don't know her. She's slotted to play, what's her name? The sister, LaToya. And you have this Liv Simone, who's slotted to play Gladys Knight. Never heard of her. Some Samson is slotted to play Quincy Jones. I don't know who that is either. They're doing a lot of unknowns. Now, I'm not necessarily mad at this. And if they're not, you know, unknowns completely, they're, you know, people who, you know, are not well known. And again, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. I don't know this Caitlin Durrell Jones will play Bill Bray, who was the security for Jackson 5, and he ended up being Michael Jackson's security. And Kevin Shinnick playing Dick Clark. So, I don't know. They've got this multiple group of people who will be playing the brothers. I'm not really recognizing any of these names. So I guess it's going to be real interesting. This Laura Harrier will play Susan DePass. Now, in the Jackson 5 movie, that main movie that they had, Lawrence Hilton Jacobs played Joe Jackson, and what's her name? Angela Bassett played Catherine, and what's his name? The one with got two people of the same name, Vanessa Williams. She played Susan DePass. So that particular movie, although it did not go to the big screen, it went to like a TV movie, it was well casted. So I'm hoping that this one is the same. They did have like a couple of other little Michael movies. So I guess, you know, we'll see what they do with this one. Well. Where is Shantice? Because I have not heard her talk about this one. She mentioned it yesterday. She's mentioned it other times. Good Times is now animated. But I got to tell y'all, they say this is no dynamite. Well, I got to tell you, they have never said something more true. When I tell you Trash. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm mad that somebody actually thought that this was a good idea. When you get a chance, Netflix should be shut down for this one. Go back, go to YouTube, and pull up Good Times Animated. Yep, Shantice, I'm not kidding you. No, you're really going to be saying that when you look at the trailer. Oh, my gosh. When I tell you trash. So they have the Evans family. They are in one of the last Chicago projects that exist. And this is supposed to be James Evans's grandchildren, from what I could tell, what they said. So, J.B. Smooth, Yvette Nicole Brown, Jay Farrell, Marci Martin, some Gerald Slink Johnson, and Rashida, I don't even know how to say her last name, are starring in this as the voiceovers. They are Reggie Evans. Yes, they cussing, y'all. They got Reggie Evans, Beverly Evans, Junior Evans, Gray Evans, Dalvin Evans. But when I tell you, oh my God, listen, they got one of the Evans, I think one of the youngest Evans, selling drugs. Oh my gosh. I was like, yo, what are you doing? Yeah. They really, when I tell you they did us dirty, they did us dirty. Now, here's the thing. Steph Curry is behind this. I'm trying to find out who else. I saw who else last night. Steph Curry, and there's like two other people who are behind this thing here. And the people are mad because they're saying, first of all, how in the world could Steph Curry be a part of something that a lifestyle he knows nothing about? And I'm like, okay, so here we go. Steph Curry, the guy, the creator behind the Boondocks, Paul Jones, he's a part of this creation, if you will. But man, when I tell you the people are mad, people are mad. No, wait, got that wrong. Carl Jones bowed out of it. Yeah, he was a part of it initially, but then he ended up bowing out. I want to give you some of the, what do you call it? You know how I always go back and give you what the people said. So, I don't care how many black people were a part of this. This is racist as H-E-double-L. I'm extremely offended. This is nothing like Good Times. The Evans family may have been in the projects, but there was a lot of dignity. This is racist. What else did they say? Good Times was a funny classic sitcom of a hard-working poor family dealing with society issues of the 70s. Despite the struggles, JJ was an aspiring artist, Thelma was a college student, and Michael was an activist for the black community. This Netflix joint ain't it. So then they said, so they just put every black stereotype in existence into one animated series. If you're looking for a comedic black family show that's good for all audiences, this ain't it. This ain't it. Now, somebody put a baby who is a drug dealer. I told you, they actually have the youngest one in the family, and they show him selling drugs, y'all. We ain't talking about there's an inference made. We're not talking about they talking about this thing. No, they literally show him exchanging the drugs. And if I can remember correctly, he had a pacifier in his mouth while doing it, and he dropped the pacifier. You know how they have the pacifier that goes around your, you know, like the thing, you know, like hangs off of the little clip. Well, this one hung around his neck. He actually stopped sucking on the pacifier so that he could talk to the kids he was selling, or the people he was selling the drugs to. Now, here's what's interesting. Some people said that the white people do it all the time with Family Guy, with American Dad, with, what's that, The Simpsons. So why are we upset? I'm sorry. I'm not making no comparison because they got trailer park trash in the white comedies that we should have the same thing in the black comedies. Yo, this is what we're talking about on My Two Cents for the past 2 weeks. We don't have good representation on TV for comedy. This is the best y'all could come up with. And you know what makes me mad? This is the way y'all would allow people to perceive us as. Just like that comment that said you put all the stereotypes into one animated series. Yes, they did. When I tell you they got cornrows and they got twisties, I don't know, this junior, the one that's supposed to be like a JJ, he got, must be dreads in his head. She got, one of the girls, she got braids and cornrows and they different colors. Yes. They did it, y'all. They did it. They did it. They did it. Oh, my goodness. When I saw this, first of all, I hadn't even heard about it before last night. And I want, while I'm talking, I see that I got Pastor Vinny is on and Brother Al is on. Go back. Just go and look real quick because only a couple minutes. You could miss them my first couple of stories because we ain't going to talk about that, no way. Go back because I want to talk about this good time thing and how they make us look. Yo, Netflix should be, like, burned for this one. Yeah, we look like straight trailer park trash, y'all. We do. And I'm sorry, I do not agree with the fact that since they do it with they sitcoms. And they were like, oh, yeah, those sitcoms are, what do you call it? They've been on for years, and they are a success. So what? So, oh, no, we definitely my two cents on this one. Because if I don't look at number one, one episode. Now I can forget when it's April 12th. So we got a couple weeks. We'll still be in the what do you call that thing? Writers Guild Awards, because that doesn't come till the 14th. But baby, this here, this ain't us. Ah, oh, Shanti said that this would win an award, and she's probably right. So that's why I said, I, as mad as I am, I want to definitely check it out. So, guys, go back, go check it out while I give my first two stories of the morning, and then we could talk about this thing, okay? All right, well, all right. We got a little, couple little stories to talk about. Yo, this squatters thing, America needs to do something about this. So in Texas, what's his name? The governor, DeSantis. Thank you. I may not give him thumbs up for many things, but I'm so happy he is definitely addressing it in Florida, because this here, this squatters thing is crazy. So there's this woman who is in, I think she's in Texas. Yes, she's in Texas. She went away to take care of her mother. Her neighbor calls and tells her that some squatters have taken over her house. Now, she hired these people to paint her home or do some kind of work in her home. And I guess they peeped when she left. Yeah, she said she hired them to paint and renovate her house. And after she was gone, they broke in, wrecked the house, left crack pipes in her oven and needles in the drawer. And she called the cops. And, of course, what do you think? They said, well, we can't do anything. They've been here for more than 10 days. And walked off. So she had to go get an attorney. They had to serve them with a 30-day notice. Then they had to do another 30-day notice, and that notice had to expire. And she said that when they went to court, the judge extended this stay for the squatters because she didn't want them to be homeless over the holidays. Who is smoking the real drugs? You literally look this woman in her face, who has now been evicted out of her own house for squatters. You knew they were squatters, and you said you didn't want them to be homeless over the holidays. So the lady said to her, I'm homeless over the holidays. Yo, they, you know what? They really need to take care of these judges. I'm sorry. They are not doing a really good job. So they finally ended up getting the people out of the house. He actually tried to come back. Yes, the squatter actually tried to come back. They say that, she finally, got back in the house, but there are some governors who are now really taking, a proactive stance. And I guess it's not really proactive because these squatters have already begun and they are well underway of being out of control. But definitely, Governor Ron DeSantis is signing papers. He's changing the laws regarding squatters, and he's moving to allow the cops to get them out quickly off these private properties because this is crazy. He said other states are siding with the squatters. He said they're not doing it. Well, here's the difference between him and other states. Him and other states would literally mean, oh, they would go and take over Florida, because if Florida is the retirement capital, you know, you know how many homeless people would be in Florida? Oh yeah, oh yeah. I guess, you know, they would really be all out of control, and people would really have no place to live. So that's one of the reasons why I think he's kind of moving really quickly, because he would end up with a huge situation on his hands. What else are we talking about? Oh my goodness gracious! Let me get my stuff together and put my news. Yo, talk about people being out of control. So there's a woman here in New York City just walking the street, y'all. This Dolce Ricardo, 57, she said she was walking down the street when out of nowhere, this guy punches her in the face. Yes. Now, thank God her brother, who owns a restaurant, she was right near there, and he chased the guy down. And it's some 33-year-old Franz, and they ended up arresting him. Now, he punched her in the jaw out of nowhere. Her jaw is now wired shut. Three of her teeth were knocked out, and she now has nerve damage. She says she lost feeling in her lips, and she currently has to drink her food from a straw. And that's all while you were walking down the street. Just walking down the street. Minding your own business. Minding your own business. All right. Well, we got to touch one of the Diddy stories, because we on the Diddy trail, you know, when we see Diddy and Smollett and R. Kelly, and, you know, we got to follow the stories. And here's one of the stories that I'm definitely following. Cuba Gooding Jr. has now signed on to be a part of the Diddy sexual assault and harassment suit. So this Rodney Jones, you know, he had a lawsuit against Diddy, and now they say he has amended the lawsuit to include Mr. Cuba Gooding Jr. Now, if you remember a minute ago, Cuba Gooding Jr. had his own problems with the ladies saying, you know, he's behind some of this sexual harassment and things, right? Well, he definitely is in the wrong lawsuit now, because they taking Diddy down. Let me tell you something. I said to Shanti the other day, I said, baby, they might release R. Kelly after this Diddy thing, because he ain't going to have nothing on what they snatching up Diddy for. No. So, he has, which is this Rodney Jones, he's accused, what's his name, Cuba Gooding Jr., of being a part of this Sex Act and Sex Workers thing, they said that in the court files, he's claiming that Diddy wanted to pass off Jones to Cuba Gooding Jr. on their trip to the Virgin Islands last year. Now, they say that this was a yacht trip that they took, and, you know, this Jones is, Rodney Jones is saying, and he has been saying, that Diddy was grooming him so he could pass off his friends. And they say that Cuba Gooding Jr. was touching him and groping him and fondling his legs, in his upper thigh area, in his inner thigh, upper thigh. Ah, goodness gracious. Near his groin area, the small of his back, near his buttocks, his shoulders. And this is all while they were supposed to be alone on this yacht trip. Somehow or another, they got to be alone, Cuba Gooding Jr. and this Rodney Jones. Now, Rodney Jones says he was extremely uncomfortable and proceeded to lean away from Cuba Gooding Jr., and he rejected Cuba's advances and said that the Cuba didn't stop until he forced himself and pushed himself away. So they claim he got photos to show that Cuba Gooding Jr. was touching him during his trip. And they say the complaint also claims that Cuba Gooding Jr. was a relevant actor who has fallen from grace due to several sexual assault lawsuits and recently a recent guilty plea for sexual assault. Now, here's my question. They say that back in February is when Rodney Jones allegedly changed this, amended his complaint. Because initially the complaint only had Diddy. So back in February, he modified it and included photos supporting Cuba Gooding touching him. So my question is, if you had photos from the beginning, because these photos just didn't pop up out of nowhere. If you had photos when you first put the lawsuit out there, why wasn't Cuba Gooding included in the first draft, in the first set of complaints? See, this is the kind of stuff that always makes what you do questionable. Because my thing is, I'm going for a slam dunk. See, I'm different from them. When I put it out there that you did something to Stephanie, ain't going to be no question. Ain't going to be no why didn't you. It ain't going to be you were sleeping for till 8:05, but at 8:15, you didn't realize some things. Don't open your mouth until you completely and thoroughly put out there what needs to be done. You want to have a lawsuit to put all the defendants in there. So it has said several times that he amended this initial lawsuit that was only against Diddy, and he decided to include Cuba Gooding Jr. Now, if you didn't say he started touching and groping and fondling your legs, your upper inner thighs, near your groin, the small of your back, near your buttocks and your shoulders, while alone with Cuba Gooding Jr. How did you put this out there without including him? How? How does that even make sense? I don't know, y'all. And lastly, before we go into my conversation with the guys, so Toure, and I think that's how you pronounce his name, Toure. Now, he was somebody, wasn't he on a part of BET? Somebody help me with that one. I know him, but I don't know where he's from. But if I put he's a part of, what's his name, of the whole BET set of people. So he claims that he was cool with Diddy. He was cool with Diddy. He asked Diddy to help get his, what do you call that, family member a job as an intern. Yep. And he said that when the family member started, everything was good. And he said he knew him well enough to ask, you know, I need a favor. He said this is about 10, 12 years ago. He said, and he told him, I have a family member I want you to hire as an intern. And he said, did he said, sure. He said, and when he looked up, it was grand opening and grand closing. He said, he asked the family member, you know, how's the internship going? He said the family member was like, there's no internship. I stopped it abruptly. It was only like 3-4 months into the time when he would been working with Diddy. He said he asked him, you know, like, what happened? And he said the family member would not say. Now, this is probably a younger person. You know, somebody in their early, you know, maybe early 20s, late teens, something like that. And he said, years later, the family member ended up saying that Diddy ended up saying, that's why he was known as Puffy. He ended up saying to the family member, come home, stay the night with me, or your internship is over. That's what the family member said, Diddy said to him. And the family member said, nah, that's all right, absolutely not. He said it was over just like that. Nothing else to talk about. So now, with all this stuff coming out, this is why now Toure is actually able to talk about what the family member said, and now he probably didn't, like, doubt the family member, but now, with all this stuff coming out, oh, definitely, he's a believer now. Yeah. So, if that's what happened, then thank God the family member ended up saying, no, thank you. So, I don't know. Oh, let me talk to my Due Time crew and see what they got to say. Where my Pastor Vinny at? Good morning, Pastor Vinny.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am great. Thank God for
good.
Another day.
Good. Glad to have you with us. Wow. Pastor Vinny, I see you and you dropped off. Did you drop off to go look at Good Times? Please tell me what you think of this proposed show that's going to be hitting Netflix on April 12th.
I saw the few seconds of the trailer, and there ain't nothing good about that. That should be bad time. It should be called bad time.
Yes,
it,
sir.
It, It in no ways, and I'm not an expert. I didn't sleep at the Marriott last night.
Yeah.
It is so it does not represent what Good Times was talking about at all. It's a disservice. It's really a disservice. And, you know, I know about artistic, you know, freedom and all of that. But this is not that. This really takes it to where it's a disgrace. You know, Florida needs to reassemble that punch bowl and get another couple of dams.
Yeah, you stupid. Oh, my goodness. She said reassemble the punch bowl. Wow. Yeah, it was a wicked boost. Yeah, it is really, really not a good representation of the of the original. Is Pastor KL on? Yeah, Pastor KL, go look at the trailer. Shanti's is stupid. Go look at the trailer, Pastor KL, because this is what we're talking about this morning. They have a reboot of Good Times. So go look at the trailer of the Netflix version of Good Times. And by that time, I didn't come to you so you could give us your take on it. All right, Pastor Vinny, you're in agreement with me. Now, I got a question about this squatters thing. You know, Ron DeSantis, your governor out in Florida, is jumping on this whole squatters thing because he's saying all the other states are siding with the squatters, and he's not going to allow this to go down. And I said, well, as the governor of Florida, yeah, you can't afford to let them you know, you can't afford to let Florida become, you know, squatters a domain, because how many people, elderly people, would be actually victims and subjected to this process where you've got to get paperwork and give them 30-day notice, then another 30-day notice, and then on top of that, the judge said that she gave an extension to the squatters so that they would not be homeless for the holidays. What would it be like if the people of Florida became victims to the squatters?
Well, they might as well just serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, and it's getting worse too, because, you know, they're coming by boats, like coming by doors, you know, they're sailing up to the coast. Once they get on land in Florida, you know, you established.
Wow.
Once you get to Florida, you established. That's your residency.
Wow. Wow.
It's bad. It is really, really bad. Now, gone are the days when you, as a homeowner, as a property owner, you had the ultimate right. But now it's just like, you know, and I'm not trying to be inhumane, but come on, they are building stuff down here in Florida like mad. Everywhere you look, they got this so-called, and I'm got my two fingers up, quote unquote, luxury apartments.
Okay.
These are one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartments, they're starting at $1,700 a month.
Okay, okay, wow.
Cool. And there's no, where's the jobs? Where's the jobs that people could afford that?
Wow.
Where, you know, and they're everywhere. They are everywhere.
Okay.
No, you know, I don't agree. If you're going to build something that's affordable.
Right, right, right.
In the range where people can afford it.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. 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 And then on top of that, you go get it and somebody else can take it over. So it's like, this is madness. This is absolute madness. Absolute madness. All right,
yeah.
Pastor Vinny, Cuba Gooding is now added to this entire Diddy melee. What you thinking?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but like my mother would say, wait till the other shoe drop. wait till the other shoe drop. There's more.
Oh,
there's more coming. There is more coming. I was talking to my younger son. He's 30, and you know, they hear and they talk and they know what's going on. And they said this is only the beginning.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Cooper, I don't, you know, he's had so much success. Why do you even need to be associated with that kind of foolishness?
Yep, yep.
What? I mean,
yep. You're right.
What?
You're right.
The devil is busy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And he's serving his fools up on a silver platter.
He sure is, Pastor Vinny. I like that. I like that. And I'm definitely in agreement with that. I am definitely in agreement with that. We are going to see what your brother Al has got to say about this thing. Thank you so
wait.
Much for joining us this morning. Brother Al, good morning.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chop of the morning. How you doing?
I am well. Thank you, Brother Al. I know you got the day off, so I know you're happy about that. I'm about to ask you about the Good Times reboot. We got a comment. Esther Roll would get extra dramatic if she were here to see this. And we got, why they picking on the Evans family, man? What did you think of the reboot?
Well, you guys, excuse me, I'm a little bit under the weather, so excuse my voice.
Okay.
I did get off for a minute and went and looked at the trailer, and honestly, I was disgusted. You know, I looked at it, and everything that came to my mind was every stereotype that they have.
Mm-hmm.
They displayed it, and I was just like, "Wow! Like, you serious right now? Like, you really think this is okay to put out? Like, you know, so many times these guys, these executives, these producers." They don't care about nothing but making that money. And Seth, I think it's Seth MacFarlane or Seth Farlane. I know he does Family Guy. And if you ever looked at Family Guy, he ain't got no problem saying a little racist joke in there or making fun of anybody's culture. He has no problem with that. So doing Good Time for him was a breeze because he had no problem with that.
Right,
And I'm sitting there like, that wasn't what Good Time was about. The Good Time showed that there are some people that struggle like that. I remember looking at Good Times and remember some of the stuff they went through that my family went through as a struggle.
Oh, okay.
You know, and you know, and to see that, I was just disgusted. I was just like, wow, like really, really, seriously. I was disgusted. Really was.
Yeah. I almost fell off the whole couch last night. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they did us dirty, Brother Al. They did us dirty. They did us dirty. My goodness gracious. I wonder, you know, what the cast members, because everybody with the exception of Rolona, who is Janae Dubois, and Esther Rowe are alive. So such an iconic show would be represented like this is something else, y'all. All right, Brother Al, we talking about these squatters, and, you know, we've had this conversation before, and I want to kind of target, you know, Florida. We know Florida to be the retirement capital of the United States, and Governor DeSantis is jumping on this thing real quick. He says because, you know, other states are siding with the squatters. He said, I got to make sure they don't get access to the private property here. How essential in your head is it that Florida is protected against the squatters issue?
Well, it's crazy. There's a couple of things that differ Florida from everybody else. And they're probably not saying it, but Florida also has that stand your ground rule as well, which means if I come over there and you come to me and I have a firearm, I don't have to run away from you. I can stand my ground, which I think is a bad rule because that's a bad rule because you cannot tell. I can't sit there and say, Pastor Steph, that wasn't enough for you to be afraid of. Who are me to tell you you wasn't afraid?
Right.
So you can never prove that. You know what I'm saying? So that's a thing right there, number one. And number two, I'm listening, and it is so sad that these people are doing it. And I said, what's going to happen, which I hope not, you're going to run across some crazy people who said, I ain't going to say crazy people, people who put their hard-earned money to get this place, and somebody staying in my place, there's nothing I can do about it. Do you know what that would do to somebody mentally? Like, I went out here, I didn't struggle all my life. I finally got this money to get the house I wanted to be in, and I can't get in there because this person is in there, and just because? Do you know what that would do to somebody mentally, and they're not thinking about that? See, me, I would come up with all type of crazy stuff. Okay, you know what? I ain't trying to go to jail. But you living in the house, right? No problem. Pastor Steph, I'm going to the pet store. I'm buying snakes, mice, all types of stuff. I'm leaking out. Go, my children, and rehabit my children. You're not gonna live there comfortably. If I gotta come in there and set on the alarm every day, if I gotta come stand in front of your house and blast music, you're not gonna be there comfortably. But I'm gonna go to the pet store, run my children, rehabit. You know what I'm saying?
I actually like that, Brother Al. I actually like that because, you know, the first thing they talk about is, you know, you can't go in there and turn off water. You can't go in there and turn off electricity. And I'm like, really, y'all really pushing these squatter rights to people where they have been legal tenants at one point? So, you know what? I like that way of thinking because I ain't got to pretend like I know anything about how the snakes got up in there. I ain't got to know nothing. So I actually like that idea, Brother Al.
That's right. I go to the pet store, Pastor Steph, and say, excuse me, do you have mice? Oh, we sure do. Give me every last one you have. Thank you. Money is not an option. Give me every last mice that you have.
Oh, my gosh. I like it. That's funny. I like that, Brother Al. I like it. Leave it to the Duke Doc to come up with the creativity. All right. Well, we've been talking about the Diddy story, and now Cuba Gooding Jr. has been added to the equation on a big level. a huge level. What you say, Brother Al?
Man, it's sad. You know, I was saying that before about these stars, and especially Diddy. I mean, I don't know him personally, but just watching him. And these guys, you know, first of all, they don't realize that you're blessed to do something you enjoy doing and make a good amount of money with it. And they feel, I got this money, so I could do whatever I want to do.
That's right.
Whatever I want to do, I could do it because I got this money. You know, and he thought he got off when he paid this lady. You know, when the lady came and everything and he paid this lady, he figured, okay, I'm good. You know, I paid it off. I'm just going to make that money back. And see, what they don't understand is the karma that comes back. God is not going to sit there and let you be prosperous doing wrong and dirty stuff to people. It's going to come back to you. And they don't see it. And he's been getting away all these years. And they like, this stuff just started. This stuff been going on. Just like with R. Kelly. This stuff been going on. But you got away, you got away, you got away. So you figure, I'm the man. All I got to do is pay somebody off and this and that.
Yep.
Now it's hitting the fan. Cuba Gooding Jr. been in this. It ain't like all of a sudden his name is just thrown.
That's right.
You know,
he's been in this.
And then the sad thing about it, as you know, watching this and everything, being not only, you know, and I'm talking about Diddy, not only that you doing nonsense, you bringing your children involved.
Yeah.
You know, your two sons get wrapped up in handcuffing, wondering what the heck going on because of your nonsense. You're training them to keep your nonsense going.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, the internet, they don't care. They killing them. I saw one day, and you know, I usually don't look, but one person showed me, and somebody, you know, his name is Diddy, and somebody had the Diddy do it. I can't stop laughing. you know, the internet, they don't have no filter. They be like, Diddy do it? And I was like, wow. But, you know, it's really sad, though. And I hope this sends a message to people that just because you have money, don't mean that you are above the law. I mean, there's like people thinking Trump getting away with it. Oh, it's going to come. All this is working in God's favor. It's going to come. You just can't do what you want to do.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Amen.
One of the sad things about it is when they out there doing these things, they so busy being selfish because you also added, what about your family members or your children who are watching this? Who got to get ridiculed because of you? Because of you, your son can't go to school because he's going to get picked on or whatever. So they forget about that selfish. They so selfish.
Right.
You don't think of your family. You just think, oh, I'm going to get away with this. I. There's no I in the word team. So your family is suffering as well. It's very sad.
You're right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You drag everybody down with you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got a text. Who adopted? I don't know. Tell me who's he. Okay? Tell me who's the he so I can give that information out. I can read that thing. Oh, they say Diddy just adopted a white girl. Who let him adopt? Who let him adopt?
Again.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That money package, that money is what I'm talking about.
Wow.
That money.
Wow. He could pay somebody off. All right, so I was trying to figure out Touré, how did I know him? So somebody just sent me, I can always rely on, you know, my backcourt to help me out. So Touré was on CNN's American Morning with Paula Zahn. Okay, so I remember seeing him on there. And he was hired for BET News. Yeah, he covered BET News and the public affairs programming. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. I knew I saw him on BET, but I couldn't remember what it was. Thank you so much. Oh, let's talk to Pastor K.L. Thank you for joining us, Brother Al, this morning, even though you're under the weather. Pastor K.L., good morning.
God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. Good morning, good morning.
You know what? I can't. not. Oh, my goodness. How are you, Pastor K.L.?
All right. I figured since we was in the devil's den, we might as well bring Jesus in this. So I just want to...
Oh, my goodness gracious. Did you go and look at the trailer for the reboot of Good Times?
I did.
So what's your thought?
My thought is we keep on giving these light-skinned folks what they want. You know, why do we keep doing that? Why do we keep making ourselves the monkeys? Why do we keep, you know, acting like the way we do? I mean, this is the way that they project us anyway. They perceive us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And all we do is go out there and say, yeah, this is us, you know, and we think it's funny about it. You know, that it's not, first of all, it's not funny to be poor. You know, it's not funny to be in those kind of states. You know, that's mental torment as well. That's not funny. You know, I'm Mr. Funny Man, but some things, you know, it's just not funny. You know, and the light-skinned folks, you know, that's what I call them, they're eating this stuff up. This is the best. Now they're laughing, you know, just as they laughed at All in the Family, because all that stuff was funny to them. You know, there are things that are not funny, but it's entertaining to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So here's a synopsis. Now that you've heard from all the gentlemen, here is the synopsis. An animated reboot of the Norman Lear series finds the latest generation of the Evans family, cab driver Reggie and his wife, the ever aspirational Beverly, scratching and surviving in one of the last remaining housing projects in Chicago, along with their teenage artist son, Junior, activist daughter, Gray, and drug-dealing infant son, Dalvin. It turns out the more things change, the more they stay the same. And keeping your head above water in a system with its knee on your neck is as challenging as ever. The only thing tougher than life is love. But in this family, there's more than enough to go around. Well, I would love to see this thing about love, because in that trailer had nothing to do with no love. It had
nothing
to do with no love, I tell you that
nothing.
Much. So I, like I said, oh, we definitely going my two cents on this one. You know, if I don't watch nothing but one episode, I want to be able to say, I put my eyes on it, and this is what y'all, they're trying to feed us. So, well, thank you guys for viewing the trailer. Pastor K.L., we talking about squatters in Florida.
I was thinking the same thing, but I was thinking where, you know, there are a stand your ground. Listen, I'd have stood my ground and shot a few people, but you had to get out of my house. Because first of all, if I walked in my house is the operative word, my house, and I see people in my house, then I'm already threatened. I'd have shot you. I'm sorry. Stand your ground. If you in my house. So we would have had to explain that at the end. But, yeah, I'd have shot you. You know, you'd all been dead, you know, because I'm standing my ground.
You know, I didn't even consider that when I thought to ask the question. So that's a serious one right there. You know, you just ain't had the problem in the right state, and might be one of the reasons why it's not prevalent in that area yet. So it makes sense,
mm-hmm.
y'all. Definitely makes sense. All right. Cuba Gooding Jr. is added to this equation in this Diddy mess. He initially had a mess of his own. Well, needless to say, now you've been partnered with Diddy, this has definitely been magnified. What say you, Pastor KL?
Well, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, people think they can buy who and whatever they want. You know, it's just ridiculous. And then, you know, no one's safe, male or female. No one's safe. You know, because I have the money, I can dictate who I'm going to purchase. It's almost like when you was auctioning us off, you know, being to the highest bidder. So we're back in the slavery days. Because Master had more money, Master was able to get the biggest buck, the biggest black man, if you will. So whoever has the most money can get whatever they want. You just auction us off and wait. So as in slavery days, I'm being groomed, I'm being fed well, I'm doing all this stuff so that Master could make sure that I look the best on the line. So here they are grooming us so that when it's time to put us on the line for sale, we look the best. We're advertising.
Yeah. Interesting concept, but definitely true. Wow. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for indulging me in my news this morning. So I got a question for you guys. Wednesday, we did a story about a woman who went through her man's phone, and she found something that she really didn't think she was going to come across. So real quickly, don't make this long, because I'm going somewhere here. What do you think of a woman going through a man's phone? Pastor Vinny, going through her man's phone.
She wouldn't like it if I went through her phone. I mean, where does your privacy begin and where does it end? I mean, she's looking for something. Somebody said, if you look hard enough for something, you'll find something.
Okay. Brother Al, what say you?
You got no business going through my phone. Again, you know, even though you're married or whatever the case may be, there's still a privacy. You know, if you want to know something, you ask me. If my phone ring and I say, hey, babe, answer that for me, then you do it. But for you to just sit there and say, okay, let me go through his phone and see what's going on. No, that ain't cool.
Okay. Pastor KL.
I believe that your phone is equivalent to your wallet or your purse. For 16 years, I've been married, and if my wife would say, hey, bring me my purse or go get something out of my purse, I just bring you the purse. I'm not going in your purse.
Right.
You know, I'll bring you the purse. You know, where is that in your purse? So come get it. So, yeah, I think, you know, certain things are off limits. Not that you're hiding stuff, but just out of personal privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, she thought he was cheating on her. And unbeknownst to her, she found out that he told his boy that he didn't think she was attractive. And she went on to say that he said, she's not pretty. So the question, one of the questions, you know, will a man date a woman, and I'm not talking about when you have ulterior motives. I'm not talking about that. So please do not tell me about that. I'm not asking about that. But will a man get involved with a woman, be in a relationship with a woman who he does not think is pretty or attractive, whichever way you want to, you know, term it? Pastor Vinny.
Read that question again, please. I'm sorry.
So will a man get a woman, get involved in a relationship with a woman who he did not think was attractive, physically, pretty? That was, you know, something that kind of came up on Wednesday. Now, I'm not talking about men who are out to use her and all of this kind of stuff, but, I mean, is this something that men do? You know, there was a comment that was made that men are not going to date women that they are not physically attracted to. So I'm curious as to, is that true from your understanding and your experience, your perception, whatever?
There are other qualities for me. There are other qualities I'm looking for in a person. She might not be drop-dead gorgeous or whatever, but there are other qualities that she has that attract me. So that glamorous, that's not my first option. That's not the first thing I look for.
Okay. All right. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. So just a couple of quick comments on that. Now, speaking for myself, the younger Al, no, absolutely not. You had to be pretty. I ain't trying to see you or hear nothing else. But as to get older and mature, you know, it's like, okay, the person look okay, but dang, she's a sweetheart. She's there for me, did this and that. So, and I have done that. I have been in those shoes. But looking at how today's things are, I would say most men is no, because the first thing that attracts you to that person is the way they look. You know, so you may be across the room, that person walked by, and the first thing was attracted to you was the way that person looked.
Okay. Pastor KL.
Yeah, I think, you know, as was said, there's different or other attributes to a relationship. And, you know, sometimes you look at other stuff, and other stuff will draw you, you know, a little closer than the actual looks. I mean, like, if you got a good credit score, you know, I mean, that I don't sell in love. You know that? That's far better than you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Pastor KL. Oh, my goodness.
My Lord.
All right. So we ended up going through a list of what men talk about to their boys. And I want to see what you gentlemen say. So one of the things they say he'll say to his boys is, she wants all my time, which makes me like her less. Brother Al.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr.
Conversation.
Can you say that again?
One of the things that they say that a man says to his boy is, she wants all my time, which makes me like her less. Is that something that, you know, men talk to their boys about?
Yeah, I believe so. Because, you know, again, no matter how much you're in love or how much you love being around that person, you do need some me time at the moment. So if I can't get no me time, you don't want me to give me time to pray. You don't want to give me time to go to the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom. You knocking on the door, walking in. And, you know, that's a turnoff for me. Like, can I get 2 minutes? Give me 2 minutes, please. So I would say yes to that.
Okay. Have you spoken to her about it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And then what the conversation went, oh, you don't want to spend time with me? No, I do want to spend time with you, but can I have some time to myself? What you want time to yourself for? All right, here we go. Okay, I'm going to get ready to give you a lot of time to yourself. I just told you to go ahead.
Okay. Pastor Vinny, you know, when he's spoken to her about it, you know, then he talks to his boy about it. True?
Personally, that's not something I've dealt with. Remember, I was raised up in that house of 8 girls and 2 boys. So there ain't no personal space nowhere. we all up in here, and we need to get used to it. But no, I didn't find that an issue. Maybe because of how we grew up. But I never felt that even with Brenda, who's, you know, she's raised with her sister. So we never had an issue of not having enough time for space for ourselves or anything like that. You get your own time when you're at work for 8 hours.
Wow.
When you come home, you with the family.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. All right.
Just a different thought process.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, is this something you would talk to your boys about? You know, she always wants to spend time. She wants all my time. I'm liking her less now.
I don't think so. To me, and just to me, that this sounds like someone who's young. You know, what I'm saying, young in a relationship, young in age, who's mm-hmm. not dialed in to their relationship or dialed mm-hmm. into their marriage. You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
First of all, you know, I got a couple of boys, like two, but we not have. When I talk to you, I'm not talking to you about my wife. I'm not talking
right.
to you about my relationship. You know. Because with my friendships, like with Pastor Steph and, you know, Ainsley, we don't talk to each other often. So when we talk to each other, we're catching up. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're catching up on other stuff. We're not talking about what's going on in my house. I think these are for immature people who still want a club, who still want to hang out with the fellas, you know, stuff like that. I just don't think it's for a mature person who's dialed into their relationship.
Wow. All right. Well, I got to go forward. I can't stop the train right now. She won't shut up. Can I get a piece? Can I get some peace and quiet? Ever? All right, Brother Al, I'm starting with you again.
So there you go, pulling me to the wolves again. Yeah, shut up. Be quiet, please. You know, I can't do nothing. You just keep yapping. You hush. Hush, please. Just give me one thing. Please don't make me put this tape over your mouth, please. give me a little piece of it. You know what I'm saying? If you want to keep talking to that piece of chicken, I'm going to load it up with some hot sauce. I'll fix you real nice. And I told you to go in.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. We're going to shift this a little bit. What do you do with a woman who you want to shut up and you know, can you get some peace and quiet, Pastor Vinny?
Well, first of all, Pastor Al, can you pass the duct tape?
Oh, my goodness. Pastor Al.
I got you. I'm going to send you the duct tape.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. All of these things, will be found out in the dating portion of your relationship.
Do
you spend enough time? See, that's the problem. We instamatic. All of a sudden, we see the person, we see her gorgeous looks, the curvy body or whatever, her eyes or whatever. All of a sudden, we head over heels in love, and we don't even know her name.
Yeah,
we don't even know her. Now, who is she? What is she? What's her favorite color? What doesn't she like? You're gonna find out. You're supposed to find out all of that stuff in the dating. That's what the dating was for. So,
yep.
When you marry somebody, you're gonna already know that she's a talker.
Yep.
You already going to know that she's you should know. And if that's something that you don't like, well, you know, you back off slowly and say, well, this is not for me. Rather than getting all tied up and tangled up and what do they call it, booted up and pregnant up. And all of a sudden you find out, man, this is not for me.
Oh, my goodness. I like that answer.
You got to do your due diligence, and that's only fair.
I like that. I like that, Pastor Vinny. I like that. Pastor KL, she won't shut up. I need a peace of mind. How do we handle that?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with Pastor Vinny. You know, when you was dating and you was at the restaurant and you didn't even order your food because she wouldn't shut up, you know, and then you go marry Lady Chatterling. I mean, if all she does is talk, you know, there was a sign right there. You know, we often say, Lord, give us a sign. And then when God gives us a sign, we don't look at it. You know, there's your sign. There's the thunderbolt. There's what you were looking for. She won't shut up. I don't know.
Yet
we're deep in God. And we can't hear him. We hear her.
All righty. I got this one. And I'm going to start with you, Pastor Vinny. You know, she always wants me to talk about my emotions, but I'm not doing that. What is that? How do you handle that?
Brother Al, I need some more duct tape for her hand.
Oh, my goodness.
No. Listen, we come from all different kinds of situations. We come from all different kinds of backgrounds, families. She may have come from a family where they didn't talk about their emotions, where they didn't talk about stuff. And they just put it under the rug. All you get now is a big lump in the rug. I think it's important to talk about your emotions, what turns you on. That's how you find out about people. I mean,
okay.
You got to talk. You know, that's the problem. We don't talk today. No communication.
You already don't shut up. Now you want to talk some more?
But she wants you to tell your emotions. She's not talking. She's not telling her emotions. This is her trying to get you to talk about your emotions.
I don't have a problem talking about my emotions. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. Again, it's part of the discovery. It's part of communication. It's not just one way. Communication is two way.
All right.
It's a two way street.
Okay.
And you might find out that you actually like her.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Brother Al, you know, she wants you to talk about your emotions. Is that something that, you know, you want to be prodded to do?
Excuse me. I think that is a good thing because, again, you know, when you feel a certain way and you say, you know what, I'm not going to say it because it may hurt this person's feelings or this person might not like what I say, it's going to come out sooner or later. And when you keep holding it in, it's going to come out bad. You know, so I think it's cool that you want to know, hey, how do you feel about this? But when you ask that question, you have to be prepared for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, you can't just say, well, how you feel about that? And, you know, I made a joke about that before. When she come over and say, baby, do I look fat in this dress? No, it's not the fat that's making you fat. It's not the dress that makes you fat. It's the fat that's making you fat.
It ain't the dress, baby.
Don't get mad at me. You ask me a question. I'm telling you what it is. But no, I think it's a good thing to share that. Because you get to know a lot more about the person. You get to know a lot more about how the person feel about certain things. So I think that's pretty good.
Okay. Pastor KL, she wants you to talk about your emotions. And a lot of men say, I'm not doing that. What say you?
Well, okay, so I take it from another side. I think that's a disguise of a certain insecurity. Because you love him and all this stuff, and you don't know how he feels. And you're out there in the open. Now, he loves you, but I guess he doesn't show it to you or express it to you like you want him to. And you need the reassurance that he loves you. You know, just saying, you know, I love you, baby, or she says I love you, you say I love you too, that's not enough for you. So now you want to dig into, but what are you really feeling? Well, I just said I love you. I felt that. You know what I mean? But you want it to be felt in a different way. So I just think that that's a disguise of some women's insecurities, you know, having to be reassured over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. The last thing that they talk about is how he handles rejection. You know, he tries to, you know, show a woman that he's interested, and then, you know, she's not feeling him. So, you know, his thing is, you know, she doesn't want me. How do you handle that, and what do you talk, who do you talk to about that, Pastor Vinny?
I think I've been kind of blessed, you know, because I have a lot of sisters, and I think every young lady I went with or was befriended, they had a similar thing about that was like one of my sisters. So I was able to talk through things with them to kind of get an idea of what this young lady might be going through.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, and because they understand what women understand what women are going through. Women understand what women want.
Right.
And you know, so rather than me just trying to lie my way out or just, you know, continually miss the mark, they were able to get me closer to the target.
Okay.
And, I mean, they have helped me tremendously in the past.
Okay, that's interesting, very interesting. Brother Al, you know, how did you handle rejection, and who did you talk to about it?
You said as far as rejection?
Right. How did you handle rejection, and who did you talk to about it? Did you talk to your boys about it? Who did you talk to?
Well, I was never the one, like I said, to talk to my friends about anything with my woman. Now, if she was somebody I was just fooling around with, I didn't care. But if I said this person was my woman, I really didn't talk to boys. And I do remember being in college, and this girl I really liked, I thought she was just a sweetheart. And, you know, she used to always laugh and joke and talk. That's okay, that's a good sign. Maybe she do like me. And, you know, and I went to her and I told her, I said, listen, I really would like to get to know you on a better scale than friends. You know, I told her how I felt about it. And she stood there and listened. And then she told me, you know, I think you're a sweet person. And you know, when that part comes, you know, I think you're a sweet person. But you know what's coming after that. So
right.
She was like,
I
don't see you in that way. You know, I see you more as a friend. And, you know, I was, you know, she did it nicely. So I wasn't crushed. But I was just like, wow, you know, I said, I guess I could just move on about it. And I had a good friend that was in college with me, because I told him I was going to do it, and he came, yo, why happened? I said, you know, she don't like me like that. And he was so very supportive. He's like, all right, wait, listen, man, there's more girls out here and stuff. I was like, yeah, but I really like her. You know, he's like, no, it's all right, don't worry about it. She might even come around later. When you start playing ball, she might come around later. So, you know, it was, my letdown was easy, pretty easy, and I had a good friend supporting me, so that's how I dealt with that.
Okay. Pastor KL.
I'm really surprised at the basketball star's answer, because, you know, for me, you know, I, I've,
I've never been rejected. You know, I don't know what that feels like. You know, and from our state, I thought it would have been a better answer than that. I'm disappointed, Al. I'm disappointed. But you know, I haven't had that issue. I suppose I'd be crushed. Well, no, I don't even think that. Well, yeah, because it'd probably be that one time that I really, really wanted it. Yeah, I'd be a little hurt and crushed. But in my former days, no, I was something to reckon with. I was a basketball
star. You know what? How did I know that was coming? How did I know it was going to be you who said, I don't know nothing about being rejected?
I'm just saying, you know.
Whatever.
I don't know what that thing is. You know, I mean, it's something I don't know about.
I would love to go back in your former life and talk to the other people. Because, see, you're the only one that's ever been able to tell us these stories. And I'm sorry. I don't know about this. But I knew it. I said, wait till you get around to Pastor KL, who's going to be saying,
listen,
I don't know nothing about this.
Some of them have passed on from heartbreak.
So, and on that note, we want to thank all of you for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day. Oh my goodness.
My
Oh, goodness.
You do the same. Do the same.
All right. Enjoy. Okay, thank you.
God bless you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. Oh, my goodness gracious. I knew it. I knew he would be the one. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, let's get this benediction. Oh, what we got here? Wait, I lost my... Okay, here we go. Is that the one I wanted to say? I guess so. I lost the one that I had. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Oh. Wow. We have come to the end of the week's journey together. And we've talked about just relationships all week. You know, we talked about friendships that have gone bad. We've talked about intimate relationships that have gone bad. We've talked about, you know, quite a bit of relationships. We've talked about, you know, the Diddy story where, you know, this whole financial, you can pay for anything you want. You know, as I survey the stories, it really makes me realize why we need to be close to the Lord. We really need to be close to God, because when all of these things go on, you know, which way do you turn? You know, the last conversation we had was, you know, you talk to your boys about it, and men, you know, said that they don't talk to, you know, their boys about their relationships. And you know, women, we've learned the hard way. You can talk about your relationships, but you better be real careful about what you say, because you may, you know, regret it. You know, many have gone after your man because of what you said about your relationship. But I think about relationships, period, and I think about the fact that our best relationship, our first relationship, needs to be with God. And when you go through the news the way we've gone through the news all week, every week, you realize how imperative it is for you to have a relationship with the Lord. It just, you either have a good relationship with the Lord or life will eat you up, because the relationships that you surround yourself with may not be, you know, the ones that are the best relationships. The Bible tells us that, you know, man will let us down all the time. And here we are following the Diddy story where, you know, this is exactly what happened. You know, all of these stories of these manipulators, of these people who were, you know, working their way in people's lives, you know, it's all because these people trusted who they were with. You know, Teray said, you know, he needed a favor. You know, he knew exactly who to go to. And he took his family member and introduced him to Diddy, who within 4 months was done. Didn't even want to work with him no more. And, you know, like so many others have said, you know, because he has all this power and all this money, it's either do this or you done. And that's why a lot of women have, you know, fallen for the okie doke, because, you know, hey, that's something that they, you know, they were threatened with. You know, if I'm trying to come up and you are my ticket to my come up, then how in the world am I going to make it if I don't do the things you want me to do, if I don't play the game? You know, people are master manipulators, you know. But here's the best part about knowing God. There is no manipulation. Yeah, I remember, and I think I mentioned this to you before, I remember when I was talking to a couple of people, different people, different ages, two different genders, and I remember just kind of talking to them about, you know, God and, you know, what he desires of us and things like that. And they said to me, you know, I don't think it's right that I be made to, you know, to choose God. And I was so taken aback the first time. Second time I wasn't shocked, but I was so taken aback the first time I heard it, is because I never thought of God like that. As a person who got locked up and my world flipped upside down because of disobedience, I never once saw that as God manipulating me. Well, you know, either do what he says, or that's why I went to jail, because, you know, I got arrested because, you know, he said do this and I didn't do it. I didn't look at it that way. I knew, and I was so grateful to God that I understood it to be what it really was. And to think that God is put on that level, you know, I don't feel like I should be forced, you know, to do what God says or else type of thing. And that's exactly what Diddy portrays and other people like him portray. You either do what I say or else, but that's the one thing. If I don't close with anything else, that's the one thing that I hold dear about God. You know, whatever he wants for us is for our own good. Whatever it is that he has for us is for our own good. He is not going to manipulate us into believing that if we don't do this, you know, oh, well, it's over for me. You know, just getting to know him is the key. And my suggestion is get to know God. Get to know the real, true God. And you will not be disappointed. You will never have to worry about, you know, doing something or else, you know, or not doing something or else. You never have to worry about being lied to. You never have to worry about being manipulated. You never have to worry about being disappointed. God is just the end all and be all. And I really, 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 really just encourage you today that even if you think you know God, get to know him even better. Because the more you get to know him, the more you get to see how amazing he is. You know, it's amazing to me how we don't have a problem spending time with people, but we never really spend time with God. But if you were to take that same energy, same time, same determination to get to know God the way you're getting to know these people you're trying to date or, excuse me, these people that you want to be in their company, and that's what we're learning. We're learning, go ahead, try to be up in that company. Try to be up in that group. You know, and one of the you know, one of the due time crew members asked about, you know, how did this whole thing happen, pretty much. I'm paraphrasing. But I think about the fact that, yeah, Cuba Gooden on his own had his own accusations. However, when you partnered up with Diddy, see, that's why everybody's being caught up, because Diddy was the one who had all the big parties. Diddy was the one who was the end-all and be-all. You know, if you wanted to, you know, be the right person, you wanted to become the right person, you wanted to look like this or look like that or have this status, hang with Diddy. Well, we're getting to see what hanging with Diddy is all about. Because everything that's attached to him is going to crumble. You see what happened with T.D. Jakes? Just because of the association. Now you see all of these people, just because of the association, they've fallen. So hang with God. Be with God. Trust God. Join his, be a part of his group. You know, you are not going to end up crumbling, because that kingdom will not crumble. But the kingdom of this prince of this world, this enemy's kingdom, oh, that's promised to crumble. Because the Bible tells us that he's already been defeated. So it's just about to manifest itself, you know, where you're going to see it, you're going to feel it. And you are going to be very, very, very disappointed, because it'll be equivalent to hanging with Diddy's group. So if you could never see yourself, excuse me, if you could never see yourself hanging with Diddy's group, you better step away from the enemy. Because, see, the enemy is the same as Diddy. That's the analogy we're going to make today. You know, he's the one who makes it look, Diddy made it look all beautiful. Oh, all the sparkling lights, all the food, all the, you know, free this and free that, and he's got all this yacht and these mansions and you, all the people. That's the way the enemy do you. Oh, he presents himself as an angel of light. And when you look around, you're going to be in the crumble. You're going to be demolished. You're going to be in the catastrophic fall. So, pay attention, y'all. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the guys, for coming through big time and sending us into a thought-provoking weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us all week and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us in any shape, form, or fashion. Until Monday, God spares, there will be no prayer room this weekend. But until Monday, where we can get together to shake the Monday morning blues. Until then, I love you.